In lecture number two, we are now going to discuss the laws in general and their purposes. In our introduction, we discussed the danger of examining the reasons for the mitzvos, and we stated that the only reason we do mitzvos is because God commanded us to. That's it, no other reasons. During this lecture, we are going to assume that if you are listening to this, that you agree to that, and you have your head on straight, and you would not let any reason sway your performance of any commandment from a traditional halachic ruling. Therefore, we will now go the other way and discuss why it is so important to examine why we do what we do. In this lecture, we will not focus on kashrus per se, but rather on the general ideas of searching into mitzvos and some of the background to that. People that perform mitzvos out of mere habit, and in the words of Chazal, they call that mitzvas anoshim milumada, will not have enough strength to perpetuate Torah and our way of life. There must be conviction behind what we do. In general, people who like to think, and we hope that there are many of them, need underlying ideas of why we do what we do, why we perform mitzvos. Our mitzvos are not just ceremonies that we perform, but are, to give an exact quote from Diane Grunfeld, they are divine rules of life for the people of God, eternal and inviolable. They represent divine thoughts implanted into man through symbolic action. And the purpose of the mitzvos are to make us holy, as the Torah says in Bamidbar, Leman tizkiru va'asisem es kol mitzvosai v'hisem kedoshim leilo keichem. You should do the mitzvos and be holy to God. So this is what the Torah tells us. The question is then, where will the conviction and knowledge come from? Many people we know have a sociological or a psychological Jewishness, and unfortunately, as we have seen, this is not sufficient to perpetuate Judaism. It does not stand the test of time. To be a Jew in your heart, it doesn't propagate Judaism. Now, certainly it's better than nothing, but generally it's a dead end. And this is especially true ever since the Industrial Revolution. Man is a thinking being, and he's always looking for why and how. So it is therefore all the more essential that we apply the same investigation and thought process to all of our mitzvos. We need to always keep in mind that the Torah says, Naseh v'nishma, first and foremost, we do. We perform the mitzvos. But after that, we have v'nishma. We have to understand the mitzvos in the best way that we possibly can. And this is a very Hirschian understanding of Naseh v'nishma. First, I do it just because I have to. Naseh v'nishma, I must understand what I'm doing. Rambam writes in Hilchos Me'ilah, Roy la adam lehisbonin b'mishpatei haTorah hakadosha v'leida sof inyanam kifi kocho v'davar shelo yimtza lo tam v'lo yada lo ila al yihi kal be'inav v'lo yaharos la lo sel Hashem pen yifrotz bo. And Diane Grunfeld translates this Rambam as follows. It behooves man to meditate on the laws of our holy Torah and to know their deeper meaning as much as lies in his power, but a law for which one has been unable to find a reason or a motive, one should nevertheless not treat lightly, and one should not ascend the mountain of the Lord, lest he cause a breach. Okay, when one is dealing with the purpose of a law, there are two rules that need to be followed. The first one is, unless a law explicitly states its purpose, any idea of why the law is what it is conjecture. It can never get beyond conjecture. And number two, a binding law is always separate from its conjectured reason. And these basically are the rules that we set up before. Our rationales are at most theories that can never be fully proven. And they may very possibly be incorrect, or maybe a better idea will take its place at a later point. And number two, the law is in stone no matter what rationales there might be. Now, there are three basic approaches to understanding mitzvos that we're going to deal with. So the first approach is the ethical approach, and a primary exponent of this is the Rambam, among many others. The ethical approach follows the concept that all of the Torah's laws have one aim. What is that? It's Kedusha, holiness, And as we have explained, regarding man, that means moral perfection. Now, again, this is based on the pasuk we quoted already from Bamidbar, "Lema'an tizkiru va'asisem es kol mitzvosai v'yisem kedoshim le'elokeichem," that you should do the mitzvos and be holy to God. The second approach is the mystical approach, and this is espoused by the Jewish mystics and Hasidim who provide Kabbalistic interpretations of the Torah. Now, this approach looks beyond man as an individual who is working on himself, but it seeks really to examine how man's actions, what he does, his mitzvos, I guess averos as well, in the negative, affect the universe on a cosmic level. Whatever that means, I have no idea what it means. Since the mitzvos establish and preserve the harmony of the universe, so according to this idea, every person who fulfills Hashem's commandments becomes a cooperator with God in the history and guidance of the world. Certainly on a personal level, this is understandable. When you do a mitzvah, so let's just take the people around you, by your actions, you could be affecting, let's say, a person's neighbors, perhaps his family members, in a direct way when they see how he acts. So somehow we're saying that on a much greater level, this affects the entire universe. And the third method we're going to discuss is the symbolical approach, and the primary exponent of this is Rav Hirsch, among others. The symbolical approach stresses that abstract ideas are not the best method to use if you want to influence people. However, a symbol, which is a concrete visible sign that represents an idea, is a very effective way to direct human behavior. The Torah uses many symbols all over the place, but if we just examine the pasuk we quoted already since we started with tzitzis, the Torah states that when we look at our tzitzis, you should do the mitzvos and be holy to God. So the symbol, the tzitzis, is a means to an end, which, as we have stated, what's the end? The end is holiness, and holiness means, by man, moral perfection. And we'll expand on this a little bit more. And if anyone's interested in really hearing a lot about this, in our 19 letter series, we discuss the symbolical approach at length. So this ends lecture number 2, and next time we will begin to apply some of these methods to the dietary laws.